And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Go on to our next segment here with the Manhattan Housing Authority. And just a single guest here today. We have Executive Director Aaron Esterbrook joining us here on the program. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks. I hope I can cover down and cover all the ground.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It's good to talk with you here this morning. We've got some important topics that we're going to hit on, including the Kansas Statewide Housing Needs Assessment, which I've seen the information on that come down here the last couple of weeks, but I've been overwhelmed with information recently, so I'm glad we have an opportunity to kind of pause and just focus on that here today.
Well, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat. This was a big deal. A lot of energy and effort went into it across the entire state, and as the results and the needs assessment came out, so many other things were happening that it kind of got buried, I think, a little bit in the news or as our attention has waned. But as we go into the new year, we have a good document, and it's really it's a statewide document that in 2021, the Kansas Housing Resources Corporation, which is kind of our Kansas housing office, partnered up with the Office of Rural Prosperity. And they launched the first comprehensive housing needs assessment in over 30 years. The aim was to address decades-long shortage of data on existing housing resources so that we can inform the current and projected needs. Some of that's a lack of quality. Affordable housing is widely recognized as one of the state's biggest barriers to growth and development. Particularly in the rural and underserved communities. But really, if you want to start to address housing challenges across the state, or specifically into Riley, Gary, Pottawatomie County, Manhattan, the beginning of the data is in this report, and it gets you started. And I think that kind of ties in, as I was involved with the city commission and their work on the housing study, I think that the local housing study, there's a steering committee now that is launching into that, and that'll carry us through the year of 2022 and studying our housing needs and locally. And so this is really a complement to that. It's a great resource. But I'd be happy to kind of go through some of the findings summarized in that. And then I think, but one of the most important parts for us as a community, since we have so many renters, is finding quality and affordable housing is hard, right? That leaves many Kansans paying inflated prices for maybe under-maintained properties or paying significantly more than their mortgages might otherwise cost. So that's the renter's kind of challenge. On the buyer's side, there's a limited supply of affordable, modest-sized homes that's pushing many into renting more expensive homes than they desire. And many buyers can't really compete when sellers in some Kansas markets expect perks like thousands in cash over asking prices or waived inspections. So those are a couple of the challenges and different angles on a statewide perspective. But there's a gap in middle-class housing. Typically, the needs assessment shows there's a gap across what they're defining as middle-class housing, typically more affordable, smaller-sized, smaller lot homes, critical shortage that turns buyers into renters. And this encourages larger mortgages, which, is another type of burden if you want to own the house. There's a shortage of rental and smaller home stock suitable for an aging population. At the same time, we have all these other conditions. We have an aging population, the baby boomer generation and others that are getting into the retirement years, and we don't necessarily have housing stock that's suitable for them. And really, the needs assessment shows that in Kansas, only the Kansas City Metro saw an increase of 0 to 19-year-old growth. So our housing stock is not in line with the needs of our age. It's also not in line with our income. And then when you get into the granular data of Riley County, for example, the vacancy rate is something that I watch as somebody that works for the housing authority and just a decision maker. And the vacancy rate is close to 13% in Riley County. And the study informs us that it's important for counties to understand the local causes of vacancy rates above 10%. Anytime you're getting over 10% in vacancy rates, there's other challenges. There's different problems. It might be the cost is too much, or the state or condition of the property is not good enough. So there's reasons things are vacant. What we don't like is to have vacancies. We want people to be able to get where it's suitable into the places they need. And that's usually a vacancy rate between 3 to 5% is a good number. That gives people an opportunity to move around. We're sitting closer to 13. So we have issues, as everybody kind of, I think, recognizes locally, but it comes out in this report.
It's interesting when it gets to be that high, and you mentioned the factors that contribute to that. A lot of folks don't want to pay the cost to fix it. So what's and you probably don't have an answer specifically to this, but where's the solution here?
Yeah, I think I'm not in a position to say the solution. I think the community has really come forward in a way that we're going to have this housing steering committee locally that's going to explore these root causes at a real granular level in Manhattan. Why things are the way they are in Manhattan is even different than they are in Gary County or Junction City, and especially across the state. But the data just gives us an opportunity to start forming those solutions, right? So some of the solutions and feedback that the statewide study indicates that people are interested in down payment assistance. They're interested in other programming to help with home ownership. So it seems like there's a strong appeal, at least anecdotally from survey responses, for people to make that jump from renting to owning. And if you look at the trends here, it does seem like the renter's burden, the cost burden for the renter is more. I mean, it is definitely a better path in the long run to own your home. Now we just need to figure out some of the tools that can empower that incentive, especially for those that are in that missing middle, which might be that 80% AMI to 120 or 150% of your area median income. So we're not talking necessarily low income, but that middle income. And that comes through pretty clear in these reports. It also, some of the highlights are, you know, Riley County is doing awesome when it comes to attracting employment, right? Like, we are an employment hub, and they broke the states up into, or the state into regions, and they kind of carved out. So if you take away Topeka and Kansas City, and you kind of have everything north of I-70 and west to Junction City. So Junction City to the Missouri border over there, not including Topeka. That's the region we're talking about. So in that region, it's Leavenworth and Riley. And we're just driving the economic development. We're driving jobs. People come to our areas to work. This contributes to other housing issues, but it's good news as far as employment looking in relative to the rest of the state. But it also leads to higher rental rates because then there's a higher demand.
Yeah, and you know, we're always going to have a high rental stock here being a college town. Does that play into this a little bit?
Absolutely. So being a college town and being close to the military, having that transient community that kind of comes and goes routinely, there's always going to be an element where there's a need for rental rates. But how we keep those manageable is something the housing study that's locally can hopefully tackle, and also find ways to to keep it in balance, so there's more suitable housing. But we do have a lot of new rentals on the market, which contribute. We actually have more new rentals than anyone else in our region, and that contributes to higher rental rates too. New properties just inherently cost a little bit more, especially if they're not subsidized, and so that we gotta be careful that we don't overbuild, because that's going to just cause more affordability issues.
It's a real balancing act. I used to live in the Kansas City area, and I remember it was always cheaper on the Missouri side. If you go to Johnson County, the rental rates were just astronomical. I'm curious, where does Riley County fall into that? Are we like Johnson County? Are we a little bit lower than they are?
Yeah, we're definitely in the top. Our main competition is Johnson County in that regard, as far as affordability, cost, rent, cost burden, which might be explained as more than 30% of your income goes towards housing. That's one way to look at if you're overburdened for your housing. It's hard to really get to the, it's not necessarily apples to apples in the Johnson County, Riley County comparisons, because Johnson County has a lot of different types of population than where Riley County's cost burden is definitely skewed because of students and younger population. We have one of the youngest populations per county in the state, if not the youngest. I think we're right around 25 years old. So of course the 25 year old age number is going to mean that we have less income, but our housing costs are on par with Johnson County. So the income gap between us and Johnson County is significant, but there's other reasons, given that we have students and that just the nature of our traditional industry here is not the same as theirs, but it is, we're there. It's not a good place to be, is the one of the least affordable counties when it comes to cost burden for a renter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a definite struggle there. And, you know, not to say that the housing is that much different either. I mean, it's obviously a little more probably expensive to live in Johnson County, but housing market here is pretty on par.
Yeah. It's, and there's no magic formula of one solution for everything. I think that's the value of this, the city getting involved and the community stepping up and the steering committee that's going to be meeting over the next year locally and finding the solutions that make sense for not just housing costs, but suitability and different maybe programming that can assist down the road for home ownership. Workforce housing is going to be coming online with that sales tax in 2023. So there'll be some funding for workforce housing, which if anecdotally, as we drive around town, I think we all notice, you know, some homes that could use revitalization, and they may have been some of the most beautiful homes on the block in the 60s. And they are right now not the most beautiful, safe, affordable homes on the block. And how we take those homes and make them habitable, attractive, and suitable for our workforce are some of the challenges that the community is going to address this year.
You were talking with Aaron Estabrook, Executive Director of the Manhattan Housing Authority. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, including an update on the Afghan resettlement team. We'll do that here next on News Radio KMAN.